This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. TouringPlans.com.
Hey everybody, it's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 282 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. This is Ed, and we're getting ready for the final four of the Disney March Madness. Before we get going, we're going to introduce who's on the show with us tonight. First, we have Sam. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
Ed, what's going on, man? It's a Final Four. It's an Elite Eight. It's all kind of fun stuff, and there's so much news we haven't talked about. Oh, my head's going to explode.
Oh, I know. And we're going to hit that news in like 2 minutes. Before we do that, though, let's say hi to Morgan. Hey, Morgan, how's it going?
Hey, guys, how's it going? My stomach is empty, ready for talk about food. My brain is full of all this knowledge and news, so let's make this happen.
Now, I tell you what, listening to the show the other day, editing, I still haven't figured out if it's better to do these listenings and doing the voting with a full stomach or an empty stomach, because I don't know. You go for those cravings, who knows where it's going to take you.
I think either way, you just end up hungry.
Yep. Very true. Before we get to the food and we kind of decide who's moving on, let's talk a little news, because Disney had a major announcement on some rule changes in the parks this week.
Major doesn't even cover it. I think social media, all the Disney nerds and Disney freaks out there, I think they all went crazy over this news.
You can say that again.
So I guess let's get into it. So Disney announced, I believe it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. So that would be Thursday the 28th. That we've got a lot of changes coming, and most of them don't start till May 1st. But one started today or yesterday. So we'll kind of go over that one, because that one seems to be the one that caused the least amount of friction. And that's no loose ice. When you are taking a cooler or cooler bag into the theme parks or water parks, and this is Disneyland and Disney World, no more loose ice, no more dry ice. If you need to take something in that needs to stay cool, it needs to stay cold, Disney wants you to use those reusable ice packs to keep your items cold.
Right. Now, I tell you what, when that first kind of hit, it took us a little bit by surprise, because we really couldn't figure out what the deal was behind it. My first theory was like, well, hey, maybe people are dumping ice in the parks and other people are slipping and hurting themselves and they got to put a stop to that. Did you guys have any ideas or theories about that one, or you just kind of were like, oh, that's just next?
This one was kind of odd to me, because of all the changes they made, I didn't have an issue with any of them. I don't have an issue with any of them. But this is the one that I thought there was a point in my life when this might have been a problem. And I kind of tell you guys why. And it's when we were taking younger children who had formula, who had milk that we took with us. And it was a standard for us to wherever we might have been staying, and the Swan and Dolphin's an example I use because we stay there a bit, pushing the stroller with the small cooler that fits under it right down to the ice machine that's on the way to the elevator, fill it up with ice. It has in it the milk, the cooler, the bottles, put it back under, and we head to the parks. And that was something that we did all the time. Now, that's probably because I had 6 months and you know, 18-month-year-olds with me.
Sure.
But it was the one that I thought, man, how would you do this? And I understand the, okay, use an ice pack. In fact, I'd rather do that because they're easier and they don't get things wet. And it's kind of – but the problem is, in those rooms, I don't think you can freeze that ice packet in any of those little tiny refrigerators they give you, unless you're in a DVC property where you have a full-size refrigerator. And if I'm there, I'm probably going to freeze water bottles and put those inside, which is what I typically do.
Right.
But this is the one that I just kept thinking to myself, this doesn't make sense to me. I don't get it, and I might have had a problem with it.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think of with those, and I thought about the fridges, too, in the rooms, especially the refurbished rooms that are getting those nice new mini fridges with the see-through door. Because I was in Contemporary in January, and there's no way to freeze anything unless you actually adjust the temperature on those mini fridges to freeze everything.
And I still don't know that overnight is enough time to freeze one of those things. You get a cold, absolutely, but I don't see it freezing solid. Because right. typically when I have one of those freezer bags, right, you put the bottles of water in, you put the baby bottles in it, and the freezer packet goes in the middle, you close the cooler, and that's great. You know, you're cold all day. But it's the one of all of these changes that, to me, I thought, wow, there was a point in time where I might have had a real issue with this. But fortunately for me, it's fine.
Well, no, I was going to say another thing that I thought of, not just like the little ones that you've got to bring the bottles in for, was for medical reasons. You know, there's some diabetics and people with other medical issues that have to have their medication refrigerated or cold.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right.
So that's another thing that I thought of is, are those reusable ice packs going to keep that medication cool enough for those people that need it?
Well, is that type of medication, I think, normally immediate, like emergency type, or is that just a matter of its medication has to be kept cold so that they can take it every 4 hours? Or because I'm sure they would kind of supply a refrigerator at the nurse's station.
Yeah. And I guess that would be almost a re-education for some people that if you do have that medication, and I automatically think diabetics, just because I know diabetics that have to have their insulin cold, if you don't know that there's a first aid station, because let's be honest, if you're not like us, if you're not a Disney nerd and this is your one trip every couple of years, you don't think about a first aid station unless you need it, you know, unless right. somebody gets hurt and you need it. So you might not know that exists and that you can utilize it if you are needing your medication to stay cold while right. you're in the parks.
Right. Well, I tell you what, the other way to get around this, I think park-wise, they could provide the ice packs where you just use them, bring them back to the resort you're staying at, and they'll give you fresh ones. Perhaps that would, if it became a big problem, alleviate it. Either way, we did find out today, though, there was an announcement to kind of clarify it. The reason why they're doing the whole thing with the loose ice is really only because it's hard to search the ice. So when they go through security checks, if you have a cooler full of ice when all your stuff's packed into it, for them to get to the all the way through it and to the bottom of it in a timely manner, it's almost next to impossible, I guess.
I can see that. I can, because I don't think of all the times we've done it, nobody ever, you know, rummaged through it, right? Because you have, but I can understand that. The other thing that we or I would have done in the past, because your ice isn't going to last you the whole day. I filled up at the hotel in the morning with the ice machine near the elevators. We head into the park, and then in the afternoon, we get a couple of glasses of ice and dump them in there.
Sure.
And I think you'll still be able to do that, but, you know, getting that ice packet as cold as you can is going to be the thing to do.
Right, and you can still use the ice at the resorts, and that's not a problem. So if you have the coolers in your room and stuff like that, that's fine.
So is there a place for me to dump the ice right in front of the park entrance so that I can dump it out and then go in with my water and the baby bottles, and then on the inside I'll get ice and dump it in? It sounds like that's kind of where it's going, but then I might be interfering with some of the other people that might be gathered outside.
Right. Well, I'm thinking there's going to be a place to dump the ice for the first month or two, because people not knowing anything about this policy will be doing a lot of that on the way into the parks.
I mean, it's just going to be like the selfie sticks. There's probably going to be signs in the parking lot, when you get on the monorails or the boats, or like signs around all the transportation signs right up until you get to security. So there's going to be plenty of signage
and that'll
out.
Get
they're
50%.
Probably going to have those little A-frame things out with the signage. And right. then they're probably going to have garbage cans or something sure. for you to dump the ice.
And in the announcement, they also said that you can get the water and ice in the parks, as we all know. Any of the counter service restaurants will give you a cup of water and ice. And I had a discussion with one of my friends at work today, and they didn't realize that the water at the counter service restaurants, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be awesome, clean, good-tasting water, not the normal fountain water you get at the parks. So, you know, definitely take advantage of that counter service free ice and water. It tastes great.
Yeah, and it keeps the milk cold.
Yeah.
Now, okay, it's kind of tied together a little bit. So and this is the only one that I kind of scratch my head on. All the other ones I'm fine with.
Yeah, it makes sense. Going. Okay, next, what we got, Morgan? What was next?
The next one, there was a rumor that leaked out, so we kind of knew this was coming. We were kind of glad that this was coming. Well, some of us were. And that is the strollers. The strollers guidelines are changing, and this is a policy that starts May 1st. They can no longer be larger than 31 inches, which is 79 centimeters wide, 52 inches, which is 132 centimeters long. What the main thing that a lot of people are kind of taking this after is those wagon strollers that people take in the parks, that you see in the parks nowadays. Those are bye-bye. As of May 1st, they're not welcome in the parks anymore.
So
the wagon stroller, the Cinderella chariots, all those things.
And it seems like it doesn't, and it doesn't matter the size. Just regardless, it says no wagons, no stroller, no wagon strollers or wagons.
No wagons, period. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Disney does even make a point to say that most strollers on the market do meet these guidelines, including those double jogging strollers. So families that have more than one kid, they'll be fine. And one other thing that was great, one of our sponsors, Kingdom Strollers, even posted on social media, hey, all of our strollers fit these guidelines. So everybody that's not bringing a stroller with them, they are still going to be able to rent the ones that fit in the guidelines.
Nice.
Standard size stroller, a normal size stroller, no problem with it. You're still going to be able to bring them in. Yeah. Don't bring the wagon, and don't think you're going to get in with something that's going to essentially block the aisleways. And I think that's the concern. It's gotten a little out of hand the last couple of trips that I've gone.
Yeah, the wagons, which, granted, I don't have kids, so I might not be the right person to say anything. But when I see the kids with the wagons, my first thought is, there doesn't look like there's as much storage in there for mom and dad to store all the stuff that the kid needs during the day.
Oh, no, it's for the kids to play in when they don't want to walk anymore.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I've looked at them before and thought, wow, when my daughter was younger, that might have been something that I considered because it's a Cinderella chariot, for crying out loud, and you're pulling it down Main Street, and it could be a float vehicle, for crying out loud, in a parade, and I get why.
Right. Oh, yeah, no, it totally makes sense, and I bet you the minute Disney saw those Cinderella-type strollers that look like the coach and everything like that, they immediately went, okay, we got to get these to go away. Because they are. People turn their heads. You got rumberneckers. It kind of almost goes also with the same lines of, adults wearing costumes in the parks. They don't want their characters, their creations, in a way, to be misrepresented, especially when you're in the parks.
I get it. And I think they're just too damn big.
Yeah, that too.
Okay, so we have one more rule change, and what was that?
Now, this rule change seemed to cause the most talk on social media.
Oh, of course.
And that is smoking. As of May 1st, there will be a removal of smoking areas inside Walt Disney World and Disneyland theme parks. This also includes the water parks, ESPN Wide World of Sports, and Downtown Disney in California. Keep in mind that Downtown Disney now is only in California. They're going to keep designated smoking areas outside the entrances of all these areas, and there will still be designated smoking areas at Disney Springs in Florida.
So to tie the two together, Ed, the smoking area will be right where you dump the ice out of your cooler.
Exactly, because there's not enough room for either or one of them. So it's going to be interesting. Well, think about that, right? You think of the entrance to the parks, and real quickly, we'll go through Magic Kingdom. You're coming from the buses, the boats, or the monorail, and you're going into the park. There's not real a lot of extra space with security checks and such like that now.
Well, the only space at Magic Kingdom, and I started thinking about this, is where the old security check used to be that's not for bus people. So it's kind of down a little lower, but you get people to walk through there because if you're coming off of a boat, you kind of walk through there, and the monorail's off to the side, but there's not a lot of room there at all.
And honestly, like that space, which from an image standpoint, being right in front of this train station, I can guarantee you that is not where they're going to be like, okay, go ahead and have your last couple puffs, because once you walk through these doors, no more smoking.
Yeah, we want everybody outside taking pictures of you guys, of the front of Magic Kingdom and
with
the topiary with just a bunch of people standing around smoking. I don't know that that's the image they want.
How about over by the buses, where the security guys are usually kind of hanging out, the cars and such? Wasn't there... There used to be like a house there too that had something in it. What was it?
Well, they still use that for, that's like wheel call overflow now.
I mean, honestly, I feel like the designated smoking area at the entrance is going to be before security check.
Which it makes it even worse because you're going to go through security how many times?
Right.
So, okay, in Hollywood Studios, you have kind of a small area plus all the construction. It's even going to be smaller. Animal Kingdom, you have kind of a funnel effect going on there coming from the parking lot or the buses, where you basically have a lot of vending and the security checks. Yeah, I don't know. And what do we have left? Epcot, which is a mess.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started on Epcot.
Epcot's a mess, Epcot's a mess because they're changing everything up front. Hollywood Studios, they're completely redoing the front of that, right? Everything's right. getting
redone.
They're building new security. And we're hearing that they're going to do the same new security checkpoints over at Animal Kingdom.
Right.
They're changing it.
And don't get me wrong. I think this is a good thing to, you know, also. However, it just seems like they're still kind of caving in, which I guess they have to. I mean, and again, I'm not a smoker, so I can't really do 100% with that. And I just, okay, I got a feel for some people who this is just something that they do and they got to be able to. Now, they also didn't say this in the announcement, but vaping is included in this. And so just that's kind of in general too.
And I feel like that's the one that's going to get broken as far as rule, because there are some people that are going to say, well, vaping and smoking are two different things, so I should still be able to vape in the parks. And honestly, you're still going to, in like little corners, you know, for the first couple months, kind of like they're, you know, they're doing something illegal because they're breaking a rule. They're going to be sitting there getting their little quick drags in because they don't want to walk all the way to the entrance.
Right. I mean, you're in Tomorrowland or you're in Adventureland or whatever. So now, what will the penalties be? That will be my next question. Do you get a slap on the wrist? Do you get to go to smoking jail? Do you get barred from the park? Do you get just warned? I mean, that's going to be the interesting side of it too. So, and it's kind of funny because, like I said, it doesn't affect many of us or many of my friends either. So that it won't matter. I'm just more of a curiosity standpoint at this, you know, looking at it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Same way.
And what's so funny is, like, I mean, I bring up the selfie sticks because that, you know, seemed to be the most recent policy change that kind of like took everybody by storm. Mm-hmm. And I remember even long after the policy took into effect, getting on Spaceship Earth, somebody's couple cars or whatever in front of me, and they pull out a selfie stick before we even go up the ramp. The cast member sees them and takes it from them. So if you get caught with a cigarette or a vape pen, is the cast member going to take away your cigarette or vape pen? Because that's not going to be a pretty sight.
Well, they'll offer to let you go to the parking lot or your resort, probably.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
The selfie sticks, like Morgan said, once you're in, they tell you going in. If you find it, if they find a selfie stick on you in the park, they take it. Yeah. There's no, you have to leave and take it somewhere. It's gone. When you're coming in, if security finds it, they will give you the option to take it back somewhere.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And if they're going to allow people to smoke at the entrances, is security going to tell them, hey, you can't bring your cigarettes inside? That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I had this past trip, we got on the People Mover. We're on the People Mover. We're starting to leave, and the car in front of us, somebody pulls out a selfie stick and hangs it way over the car out to where it's almost hitting the things as we're going by. And I'm like, that's exactly why they don't want selfie sticks here. But they were able to do it, and yeah, what am I going to do?
Right. They got away with it.
And, interesting changes. Disneyland and Disney World, both.
But not Disney Springs.
Which
did you notice
the
terminology?
I thought that was one of the most interesting things about that. Is that they're not taking it away from Disney Springs. So what in the brains of the Disney different about Disney Springs.
Downtown
There's no
Disney,
security at Disney Springs.
Well, I was thinking more downtown Disney in California is a more enclosed area, even though it is outside in Disneyland.
Well, no, it's inside security. Downtown Disney in Disneyland is inside security. You have to go through security.
Well, I'm talking just the smoking part of it, not really anything else.
Okay, and I was thinking more just in general, Springs versus Disneyland and why they can't do it in Springs. And when you think about it, peel back the onion a little bit, the bubble of California Adventure and Disneyland and Downtown Disney in California are all inside security versus Florida, where Disney Springs is just like going to a shopping mall.
Right, right. But
there's no checkpoint.
Right, and as far as the checkpoint goes, that's not something with the cigarettes either, or, you know, smoking, in that they're not – well, they weren't anyway searching for something like that. There's just, it's now not allowed, period. So they, I guess they will be, but the point is, even if they miss it and they're smoking, you're not going to be allowed to. But anyway, getting back to why Disney Springs is and Downtown Disney isn't, other than it, like I said, is Downtown Disney, Disneyland seems to be a little bit more narrow and closed in, as if it's more of a, you know, hindrance, I guess.
Yeah, it's smaller.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's smaller. There's not as much area.
Which was what I was wondering, and Sammy answered my question on that. And if it's a, it sounds like it's a security thing.
Yeah, it's inside security. And you, yeah. Lots of stuff happening. That's kind of cool. And that's just all big announcements we got here recently. And, man, I want to talk about Galaxy's Edge and stuff that like
was,
that.
And that was just one announcement.
That sort of came from nowhere.
Yeah,
that did. Okay, guys, so as we continue on with the final four of the Disney Nerds Dining Madness, we are going to go into these two games and go ahead and give our votes. Just to remind everybody.
Yeah, we've got a final four here, right? So we're going to pick who's going to go into the championship here for Disney Dining Madness, hashtag Dining Madness. This is cool.
And these restaurants have totally survived. And based on what they are, you're going to really not be surprised. Now, I tell you what, before we go ahead and vote on these, I want to let you know who's voting. We have normally the five podcast hosts are going to give their votes. So between Sam, Morgan, Lisa, Jimmy, myself, we also have the live listeners from our Facebook Tuesday night show who give their vote each time we go through a different round. We also have our online voters on the website blog who've been voting their way on the internet also. So that gives us seven total voters, an odd number, so that we should always have a winner. I say that kind of chuckling because we did have one game where we literally had a tie because we had one of those seven actually come up 50-50. So
that won't happen this time, at least not online, but it's close.
Ooh, yeah, no, I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're going to get ourselves a final matchup that's going to be incredible. Once we do that, then we're going to move back into the character restaurant rounds where we are right now at the Sweet 16, and we're going to break this down.
No, we're at the Elite Eight, and we're going to go down to the Final Four.
So, okay, here we go. The first round matchup, which I tell you what, I think this one's going to be the toughest one, but we'll see if I'm wrong.
You know what I love about this Final Four? This Final Four, we have representation from Animal Kingdom, from Epcot, from Magic Kingdom,
and
from a resort. So, sorry, Hollywood Studios. You guys didn't make it. But, you know what? They made it pretty far, but I just think it's pretty cool. So, Le Cellier versus Yak and Yeti. Who's going first here?
I think we're going to start out with Lisa. So now, unfortunately, Lisa's not with us tonight, and I'm going to be voting for her. And she, you know, gave me her votes. And
yeah, you're not voting for her. She gave you her vote.
Correct.
So this is her vote.
Correct.
Your proxy to her vote.
And just to let you guys know, same with Jimmy. Jimmy couldn't make it tonight. He's at a baseball game, which he's having a great time at that. And sometimes schedules take over, family and such. And he also let us know what who he's voting for, which restaurants he's going to take. So we're going to keep it going. So now Lisa.
And they're in sealed envelopes, so you can't cheat.
Very true. Very, very true. Plus, I think they might listen to the show afterwards and get on my case if I do change their votes.
So yeah, but it'll be too late.
I think we're safe either way. Anyway, Lisa went with, for her first round, Le Cellier, that awesome steakhouse in Canada.
Lisa Le Cellier.
Okay, moving on to Morgan.
I went Yak and Yeti.
Ooh, it's getting good.
Okay, Sam.
This is a tough one. I've been to both these places many times. And I'm going to go Yak and Yeti because of my most recent experience and the special menu that they had this spring of 2019 that was absolutely out of this world. And Le Cellier's menu looked pretty much the same. And not that it's bad. It's still awesome. It's the best cheddar cheese soup and the best pretzel bread and the best filet I think you can get. Yes, it's the best. But Yak and Yeti, that's where my vote is.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. Jimmy's actually going to be going next. And he is going with Yak and Yeti also.
Jimmy is at the Yak and Yeti too.
Yeah, he loves that place.
So far, Lisa is on her own.
Yeah, but you know what, Ed? Can I jump in with the online voting from DisneyManus.com?
Yes, yeah, actually, that's who's next, definitely.
70% Le Cellier for DisneyManus.com. So Le Cellier gets a second vote. It's 3-2, Yak and Yeti to Le Cellier.
Nice. I will be going next, and I tell you what, been to both restaurants, and I'm going to be going with Le Cellier. I'm going to be choosing the restaurants, I'm going to be choosing that restaurant. I think the atmosphere, I think the menu is perfect for where it is. Yeah, definitely Le Cellier.
So are you kidding me? It's going to come down to the Facebook Live show listeners, this matchup? It's 3-3, and that's what it comes down to?
Oh, I have faith in them.
All right. Well, I don't know. I haven't the Yak and Yeti. You're on the Le Cellier side, so who's got the faith?
Well, Morgan, what'd they say?
The live show went with steak. They went Le Cellier.
Nice.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You know what? If you're going to twist my arm, I'll go, sure. I'll enjoy the hell out of it.
Come exactly. On. Exactly. That's why there's really kind of no losers at this round, exactly. At this level.
Yeah. Is anybody really going to turn down a steak? Let's be honest.
No.
Well, maybe a vegetarian.
Pretzel bread.
Not in this contest.
Is there bacon in the cheese soup? I think there is.
I want to say, yeah.
I'm sure they can get him a version without the bacon.
Although it's not going to be bacon. It's going to be something, you know, Canadian.
Canadian bacon.
Yeah. Excellent.
Now let's find out who Le Cellier is going up against.
Right. Now, before we get into this round, I need just a little bit of a California Grill commercial. Give me 10, 15 seconds of what California Grill is.
And see, this is where we need Lisa. This is Lisa's, I don't know if it's her number one favorite restaurant ever.
It absolutely is. The first thing she did with us was the Disney Nerds trip to California Grill blog.
Yeah.
So absolutely, this is her place.
So if you have never heard Lisa talk about California Grill, it is located at Contemporary Resort. On the, I guess would we say it's the top floor? I guess it is the top floor.
It is the top floor, yes.
One thing I think California Grill is probably most known for, besides their food, is you have this amazing view of the Magic Kingdom. If you can get that magic reservation right around the fireworks, you got the fireworks over the castle, and it's just a compliment to the food. Which I know Lisa always talks about the Kobe beef. Or
wonderful sushi, by the
wonderful
way.
Wonderful sushi.
The sushi bar is good. I have been there with the family. I've also been there on my own and just sat at the little sushi bar that they have up there. Another great little part of California Grill is no matter when you eat there, if you eat there for lunch, if you go for dinner, your receipt from the day can get you back to California Grill so that you can watch Magic Kingdom fireworks from their outdoor balcony.
Very nice.
Right.
So you don't have to time it to be there because everybody wants to be sitting at the table. But honestly, sitting at the table is great. But standing outside on this balcony that they have set up where you can watch fireworks is part of the experience for certain.
Is it a similar type balcony? It was over on the Bay Lake Tower right next to it?
It's similar. There's no it's a balcony, so there's no bar or anything out there. But it's a little lower and it's a different angle than top of the world over at Bay Lake Tower. It's beautiful.
Nice. It's beautiful. Very, very cool. Okay, well, I tell you what, we're going to start this round of voting with actually myself. And
this is Be Our Guest versus California Grill. So, which, by the way, I don't know if you noticed this, Be Our Guest is the number 11 seed, California Grill is the number 1 seed. And back at the Le Cellier, Le Cellier is an 11. So right now we have an 11 in the final, and we could have two number 11s battling each other. Who knows?
That would be wild. That would be incredible. And I tell you what, Be Our Guest is a great restaurant over in the Magic Kingdom. It's located at the back of Fantasyland, and it is a double sit-down for the dining plan?
No, I think it's just a single. Cool. Okay, lunch, good. It's considered quick service, breakfast. But yeah, dinner, it's a table service. And you get your pitcher with the beast.
Which is really
dinner.
Cool.
For dinner only.
Right. Yes, dinner. The other real kind of a nice feature of the restaurant is you can go three times and actually sit in three different rooms as if it's another dining experience. They have those three different rooms in the restaurant between the main ballroom. You then have the beast room, and you then have the
West Wing.
Correct. And the trophy room, or I'm not sure what you would call the one on the right.
The library.
There you go. Which, to me, we've sat in the main ballroom, and we've sat over in the West Wing. The West Wing's just a little tad dark, but very cool, like, things going on over there. And the ballroom's awesome because there's so much to see in there, including the ceiling, which has got some incredible artwork going on up top there of the Imagineers.
And one cool little tip about Be Our Guest is if you go during the holidays, they do have a tree in the ballroom. And the Christmas topper from, I think it was the direct-to-video sequel to Beauty and the Beast, Angelique, is on top of the tree, and the windows behind it, snow.
I did not know. That's cool.
Very nice. Anybody going during the holidays, go to Be Our Guest and see the little tree.
And you see how quickly we forget how often, how common it is now. As you're sitting there eating your meal, you look out the windows, and it's snowing.
It's cool.
It is really incredible. And I kind of am like flashing back to the first time we saw that, and we walked in there, sat at the table, got up from the table, walked over to the window, came back to our table. We were the total geeks. Nope, nerds.
You got it there, buddy. Nerd.
And I think that's the one thing that some people don't do is they go, they find their seat in whatever room it is, and they only explore that room. Go explore all three rooms, no matter which one you sit in.
Sure. I mean, if you really feel nervous about getting up and exploring, you just had to go to the restroom and you lost your way.
Or just tell them you're looking for your kid, even if you don't have a kid.
This is the go-to reservation steal. You got to be on this one early if you want to get it, but I wouldn't wait. I've gotten lucky and been able to get a table for lunch the next day because people cancel. So don't stop, but if you want to make sure, you got to get on this one early. So I think it's time to start voting.
Right.
Be Our Guest or California Grill. Wow.
Okay, here we go. And like I said, I'm going to be starting this round off because I don't want to be swayed by either side. And my go-to on this one right now, even though I would like to experience the California Grill at one point or another, I'm going to be going to Be Our Guest. So we're going to start out with one vote for Be Our Guest. The next one we're going to have are live guys. Live people. What do you say?
Well, the live guys said, we're leaving the Beast Castle. We're going to Topping Temporary, and we're eating sushi with Lisa. They said California Grill.
Because Lisa didn't influence that vote.
I was going to say, I feel the sway. Okay, well, I tell you what. Lisa is now up. How's that for a coincidence? And she actually went with Be Our Guest. Holy. No, only kidding. California Grill.
She just fell over.
So 2-1, California
She's really
Grill
calling
winning.
Ed.
She would have found me. Sam, you're up next.
I am up next. I am going to go with the California Grill as well. I love the Cali Grill. The menu is awesome. Location is phenomenal. I like California Grill. I like the menu better than Be Our Guest, what it come down to. If I put those two menus, because the theming and where you get immersed to, I think is wonderful in both of these locations. Give me those menus side by side, and I'll pick the California Grill menu.
Gotcha. Okay, very cool. So where are we at voting-wise?
The .com users here. DisneyMadness.com, where this was maybe the closest voting that we've seen so far. 48.6% to 51.4%. That's how close.
Wow.
Be Our Guest.
Wow.
So the website goes Be Our Guest, which makes it 2-3.
Yeah, I was going to say, we got a close one here.
So
we got Jimmy and Morgan left.
Okay, well, Morgan, you're up.
Oh, this was kind of tough for me because I have done both. I did not have that good of experience with California Grill.
Okay.
I know.
Happens.
And?
Yep. But I went California Grill just because I feel like it needs another shot for my palate.
Twist. Holy cheese.
I feel like the food, I went strictly food. I feel like I'm going to get better quality food at California Grill. I'm just going to go with Lisa. You know, I figured I'm just not going to go to California Grill unless I'm with Lisa.
There you go.
That's what you need to do. So
just like Boathouse, I'm not going to Boathouse without Sam.
There you go.
Perfect. Jimmy. Poor Jimmy. He took
Jimmy?
Be Our Guest in a losing cause.
Which means, Morgan, you really broke the tie there.
Very good. So Our final matchup of the Disney Nerds Dining Madness, Le Cellier.
Drum roll.
Yeah, I know, right? Le Cellier versus the California Grill.
That's a championship. That's a heck of that, wow.
And honestly, I feel like that is actually an awesome matchup.
It is.
If it was going to be something where it's kind of the less unique options that you can get.
50s, you know, prime, like, time versus.
You know, like Victorian Albert's versus the Plaza, you know, like.
Yeah, no, this worked out. This worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. So let's go ahead and move on to the character Elite Eight.
Character dining. So, you know, last week, guys, we talked about the fact that we wanted to give the character dining some love. And they're such different experiences that we didn't want to mix them up in the same bracket. It just didn't make sense because it's night and day to compare a character experience versus a regular sit-down dining experience. So we came up with our Elite Eight for Disney Character Dining Madness, which means there's only four games that we got to go through, four matches. And I guess we start with the first one here, which is the number one seeded. Again, seeding has come from our friends at touringplans.com. Number one seeded Garden Grill over at Epcot's The Land Pavilion versus the number eight Chef Mickey's in the Contemporary that you see every time you take the monorail over to Magic
Kingdom. And you can hear every time you take the monorail at the Contemporary.
You can. And if you're staying in the Contemporary, you can hear early in the morning during breakfast. It's great. And I'm not complaining about that, by the way. That's a great thing to experience.
Oh, nice.
Or you just get a garden wing room like I do when I go to Contemporary.
Either way. So with that, Ed, I'm starting with you on this one.
Okay, well, I've done Chef Mickey's a couple times, and I've never been to the Garden Grill. However, I think that Chef Mickey's is fun in that it's a real cool novelty seeing that monorail going over the top. The food, however, doesn't make up for it seeing it a couple times. So I definitely want to go to the Garden Grill, and I think that's going to be a better meal. Most of my friends say so. Garden Grill.
Garden Grill it is. Oh, where do we want to go next here? On my list, I have Lisa after you, Ed.
Okay, well, that's going to be easy. Lisa, for all the same reasons I said, says the Garden Grill.
Garden Grill.
They powwowed before recording.
Yeah, I see that. Morgan, what are you thinking?
I think I'm the oddball in the bunch. I haven't done a lot of character dining because I usually go to the park solo. So I have not done either. But I'm going Garden Grill because that just seems, even though you got the monorail, Garden Grill seems like more of a unique experience. And the characters are more unique. You know, you can get Mickey at a bunch of different other places to meet him, either at a dining or just a meet and greet. But Chip and Dale, and that's a little bit more unique.
Chip and Dale and Mickey in his farmer outfit, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it's different. Yeah.
Plus, I like the fact that, like, some of my food, if not most of my food, was grown steps from where I'm sitting.
That's absolutely true.
Yep.
Absolutely true. All right, so we got 3-0. I'm going to go with the online voters now, the DisneyNerdPodcast.com. They are looking at 58% Chef Mickey.
There you go.
Chef Mickey getting a little love. I can go with this one either way. Chef Mickey's is great. Garden Grill, you know, don't forget when you're in there, you're going to rotate slowly and get to look down in on Living with the Land, and you get to see the farmhouse, and you get to see the prairie, and you go through the rainforest there at the very beginning, which is all really cool. But at the same time, I just get memorized watching the monorails go through the Contemporary. I just watch them constantly, and I look at the people looking down at you, and I think I'm usually up there, and I'm here this time. So my vote is going to go Chef Mickey.
There you go.
That's what?
Three to two.
Yeah. Okay.
3-2. So we got Jimmy, I think. Well, Ed, I'll let you pick. We got Jimmy, and we got the live show.
Okay. Well, I tell you what. Jimmy's going to go next, and he actually agrees with everything you said and goes with Chef Mickey.
Which means for the second time tonight, the live show's getting a tiebreaker?
Uh-oh. Good thing the live show already voted. They don't want to feel this pressure. Well, the live show went Garden Grill.
Nice.
The number one seeded Garden Grill knocks out Chef Mickey's in the first round. How nice. About that?
Nice to see a group of people that all agree on moving around in a circle very slowly.
Very slowly being the key there, yes.
And they must have gone for breakfast before they went around the world and drank, because I don't think being drunk and going around slowly, you'd be that fun. Maybe that's just me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, don't say that.
That's good, though. All right, so Garden Girl's going to move on. Let's go to the next matchup, which is the number 4-seeded Tusker House versus the number 5, Ohana. And I will be completely honest with you guys, I've never done either of these two.
Okay.
How about that?
So now, Tusker House is over in the Animal Kingdom, and they have, I think it's Donald and Friends, character-wise?
Yep. And they dress up in their safari gear.
Oh, which is like, I guess they took them over from Donaldosaurus or whatever they had over at the other side of the hamburger place. They used to do the breakfast over there. And Ohana has Lilo and Stitch, of course, the Polynesian theme, and Mickey Mouse in his Hawaiian shirt, and I want to say Pluto, but I'm kind of having a hard time going back and forth between Pluto and Goofy being in there.
And they could rotate. That's one thing that you've always got to keep in mind with these character meals is they're never going to guarantee specific characters. They're going to say, well, it could be a combination of these.
Gotcha. So. Now, Ohana only has the characters for their breakfast. Any idea, Tusker House?
Tusker House recently, actually looked this up for a client of mine, recently added it for all three meals.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
Cool.
So there's a little bit different of a difference of a setup over there, so that might help in the voting. We will see.
All right. The live show broke the tie last time, so they're going to go first this time.
Okay. Well, the live show went Ohana.
Ohana. One vote Ohana on the live show. If I go backwards, I think Jimmy went.
Okay.
You have Jimmy's there, Ed?
Yep, I do. And actually, the last time I went to Ohana was with Jimmy and his family, and it was an incredible time. And I am actually going to be going with Ohana.
Jimmy's going.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Jimmy went with Ohana.
Okay. I'm going to go online with the DisneyNerds.com, and they are 69% Ohana.
Okay, this could be over quick.
Ohana running away, yeah.
Are we going to have a sweep?
What does Lisa have there?
Okay, Lisa also, I believe, has been to Ohana with Jimmy. Has said Ohana also.
Okay, Morgan?
I have not been to either. And this honestly was the toughest choice because I've actually heard amazing things about both of these. But I love me some Stitch, so I went Ohana.
Morgan's got Ohana, too. That leaves us the live show. No, we did the live show. We did online. We did Jimmy. We did Lisa. We did Morgan. We did not do me. And we didn't do Ed. Ed.
I am going to go Ohana. And all right. Your shot.
Sam, are we sweeping?
You know, not being either one of these. So I'll ask one question, and this will take it either way. Is Ohana the place with the Tonga toast?
No, that's Kona.
Okay, then I'm going with Tusker House.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, dang it, I should have lied.
Now, Ohana has a really cool Ohana's juice. I forget the name of it, but it's that
pomegranate juice.
Okay, because I was saying it's pomegranate and orange juice, and it's a really, really good combination. They bring out the big platters of the sausage and the eggs, and the it's really good.
You know what? When I get the invitation from Jimmy, I'll go to Ohana because it sounds like everybody's been there with Jimmy.
Yeah, you're next. Plus, they play the games. They'll play coconut sweeping games and things like that with the kids. Really, really fun time.
All right.
Maybe Jimmy will invite me and you at the same time, Sam.
There we go. Perfect. All right. The next round, or the next match, I should say, is the Crystal Palace over in the Magic Kingdom with Winnie the Pooh and friends against Cinderella's Royal Table, which is in Cinderella's Castle. So two Magic Kingdoms, right, which are right next to each other.
I was going to say, right across the courtyard. You can see them. Yeah,
right across the hub.
Each from each other.
You get the right seat, you can see the other one while you're sitting at the other one.
I think you're absolutely right on that. So cool. Experiences at these two?
I've been to Crystal Palace, and I've been to the Cinderella. Unfortunately, it was a long time before it was the Cinderella's restaurant. It was the King Stephen's Dining Hall.
Ah, so, that was a long time.
Yeah, so nothing to do with the character meal in the castle at this point. The price actually has prohibited us from going at this, you know, from all our trips, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think if you're on the dining plan, it is 2 credits.
Mm-hmm.
This was, once upon a time, the place to get. I think Be Our Guest has taken it over as far as the must-have reservation. But either way, Morgan, do you want to go first on this voting?
I will go first. I've finally been to one of these places, guys. I'm pretty excited about this just in itself. I'm done Crystal Palace. I've not done Cinderella's Royal Table for the same reasons Ed cost. But either way, I'm voting Crystal Palace because, again, I feel like the characters are a little bit unique as far as they're the Winnie the Pooh characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a buffet.
Oh, it's a good buffet too. I've never had a breakfast pizza before, and that's the first time there.
And I've actually done Crystal Palace for dinner, and it was awesome. So yeah, I'm going Crystal Palace.
Oh, nice.
Very nice. It's always, I always walk by there, and you can see the Winnie the Pooh characters running around in there.
So. I think they have Pooh, Piglet, Eeyore,
Tigger.
And Tigger.
Tigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually got to, my mom is an Eeyore fan, so got to that coveted reservation when they were still doing the 24-hour day. So we had Crystal Palace at 11 o'clock at night, and she got to meet Eeyore, and we got to meet all the other guys, and yeah, it was a good experience for the family.
At 11 o'clock at night going into a buffet, I'm falling asleep at some point.
Well, we took a nap earlier.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm coming out of there with a full belly and it's dark and I'm going,
Oh no, they
But then
they
maybe did, just go on Space Mountain and you're fine.
Oh no, they had dance music in front of the castle.
Okay.
I really wish they would bring back the 24-hour day. It was an awesome experience.
We got to take that topic to another show for certain.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's Jimmy have there, Ed?
Okay, Jimmy has the Crystal Palace also.
Jimmy's got the Crystal Palace.
Mm-hmm.
I am up next. I am also going to say Crystal Palace. So that's 3-0. What does Ed have there, Ed?
I also have the Crystal Palace.
All right, so the Crystal Palace is going to move on. Online voters are also Crystal Palace with 60%. Where's Lisa weigh in and the live voters?
Lisa, I'll do her first. She has Crystal Palace.
And the live voters went Cinderella.
Oh, so there, not a sweep.
No, nope, right. not a sweep.
Okay.
And actually, Lisa's kind of ties into the next match because I remember her talking about Cinderella Castle. Really, the way they would do princesses was going to be one of the next restaurants we have in the next matchup. That was her inexpensive way to then get to the princesses.
That's the same thing that I had done. So the last match appears the number 2, 1900 Park Fair, which is over in the Grand Floridian, versus the number 7, Arkeshef's Royal Banquet Hall, which is in Norway over at Epcot. And along the lines of what you were talking about, Ed, when we couldn't get into Cinderella's Royal Table when my daughter was younger, Arkeshef's is how we got to the princesses.
Nice.
And it worked out well, and it's why I've been there, actually, because I don't know that I would have gone there for any other reason. it was good, and there's some good memories
there. Now, I have not been to either of these, so let me ask a couple questions before I do my voting. For the Oscar House?
I was always told it was Oscar House.
Oscar House, sure.
Oscar's House, as in Oscar the Grouch?
If I'm saying it wrong, I'm fine with it.
I feel like this is the same thing as the Napoli thing. So, you know,
Oh, right. The Napoli or the Napoli. We had some Italians actually weighing in on that one over the week, and we have some different opinions still on the pronunciation. But Acker House or Oscar House.
I know it's not Oscar. but
yeah, I was going to say that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I mean it more awkward house.
So at the Norway restaurant, do they have characters?
At the Princess Dining Hall in Norway.
Yeah, do they have characters all day long?
Just breakfast, my understanding.
Okay, and I was going to say the same thing at 1900 Park.
1900 is all the meals, but the characters are different.
Yeah, the characters.
So now, I remember when I was at the Grand Floridian having dinner there, it was Mary Poppins, but then I'm not sure if that's the right restaurant I'm thinking of in there.
Yeah, that is breakfast. To my understanding, breakfast is Alice in Wonderland characters and Mary Poppins, where dinner and I believe lunch is the princesses, Cinderella, Lady Tremaine, the evil stepsisters, because Lisa was actually talking about this. She's done dinner and thoroughly enjoyed the evil stepsisters.
Oh, no, I've seen recordings of those guys. They're hilarious. They're always good. Actually, no matter where you see them, there's always good play, and they're always taking advantage of people.
It looks like the princesses over in Norway are breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm looking at that real quick.
Nice.
Looks like they're all three, which is good. And I could see why the little ones love it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And when I did 1900 Park Fair, it was Mary Poppins. And it was cool. It was Mary Poppins. It was Bert. And it was a couple of penguins. So that was a cool one.
Penguins. See, now that's a crazy combination. It's tough to do these character things with face characters. Because, yeah, you know, that's Bert and Mary Poppins looking at me. But I kind of know that they know that I know that they're not really Mary Poppins and Bert looking at me. So it's great for the kids and it's awesome. Those are for me some of the awkward kind of like, you know, things. The penguins, that sounds hilarious.
You mean I didn't really meet Mary Poppins?
Of course you did, Morgan. Of what? Course you did. And there is a Santa Claus. Okay, so let's get to the voting. Let's see who's going to move on. Let's get the voting.
All right, you want to go first?
I do. And considering my experience at neither of these places, actually, 1900 Park, but that was so long ago, I'm going to go to Norway. I want some fish for breakfast.
And you will have herring every way you could possibly imagine it.
There you go.
And just throw a side of eggs on it and it's breakfast.
Lisa's up next.
Okay, Lisa does not agree. She will be going to 1900 Park Fair.
Ooh, right, no so sweeps going on this time, Morgan. You
did yourself out. So I've done both. Done them both for breakfast. And I'm going 1900. Not only did I like meeting the characters, and they were, again, different characters than kind of the standard. They weren't princesses because I got Mad Hatter and Alice and all that. But the food was better at 1900. And 1900 has a thing called strawberry soup. And I don't know if it's for lunch and dinner as well, but we got it for breakfast. It was amazing. And the chef even gave us the recipe cards for it.
Nice.
Awesome. Our online viewers are going over to Norway to the Princess Breakfast. So that's what online has with 60% of the vote. So pretty decisive there. The online's headed there, which makes it 2-2. What's Jimmy have?
Jimmy wants to go to Norway also. He's up for the fish.
Jimmy's up for the fish. How about the live show?
The live show? They're coming with me to 1900.
Oh, which means we're tied 3-3. And the only vote that has not come in yet is mine.
No pressure, Sam.
No pressure whatsoever. So what I like most about 1900, I mentioned the Mary Poppins characters, but Alice in Wonderland was there too, and the Mad Hatter is just phenomenal. I mean, you get the right person mm-hmm. as the Mad Hatter, and it is one of the coolest characters that you'll ever interact with.
Yeah,
and that's
doubt.
Absolutely the truth.
Very cool.
That said, location becomes my driving factor in this one. And the location of trying to get to 1900, assuming you're not staying on the monorail, or getting to Norway for a breakfast before Epcot's rope drop, that's where I want to be. So I'm headed over to see the princesses and have some herring for breakfast.
Nice.
So it is Norway versus the Crystal Palace, and it is the Garden Grill versus Ohana in the final four of character dining.
Very, very cool.
This is going to be fun.
all of these locations are awesome. I hope, if anything, you guys have learned something about one of these, and maybe we pushed you to try one, because I'd absolutely try these all at least once, which means I need to get my butt over to Ohana and Tusker House, for sure.
Very cool.
And I think that's the one good thing that just Dining Madness and adding the characters now has done for this March Madness this year is, like, I'm going to Disney next week, and I'm looking at my reservations like, okay, which one have I not done? Yeah. Which one have we talked about that I now have to try?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no doubt. Which... There's definitely more on my list than I've ever had, places I got to get to.
Homecoming would have never been on my list previously.
Exactly. Totally. I'm right with you there. So now I tell you what, guys, what we're going to do is next week we're going to come back and do the final four for our character meal madness. Then what we're going to do is hold off on the finals on the regular sit-down restaurants, so that we're going to, in 2 weeks, do the finals of both rounds. Nice. That way, two things. One, we give you a chance to vote, extra voting online and with the live show, to pick our final sit-down restaurant. And then we're going to have a little bit more fun with the character restaurants next week.
Can't wait.
Okay, guys.
This is cool.
I know. I can't wait, and I can't wait to get off of here and have something to eat. okay, so I tell you what.
Herring and eggs?
Huh? No, herring and eggs. No, well, actually, today is the day. We're recording on Friday, so herring would be the meal of the day. But I don't know if I like herring. We will see. Anyway, guys.
You're going to be able to try it a lot of different ways.
Well, there you go. That might be the way to go. Okay, guys, this was show 282 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. For Sam, Morgan, Jimmy, Lisa, our live Facebook friends, our friends on the internet voting on our website, and this is Ed, and we're all the Disney Nerds. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Have a magical night. Hakuna Matata.
Kongaloosh.
Compulsory, mortals pay a token.